Tappers, what's going on? Hope you guys are fully recovered from your Super Bowl hangover. The NBA has shown itself to not quit. They are giving us a lot of content. We're going to talk the optimist and cynic view of Anthony Davis requesting Milwaukee as one of the teams he'd like to be traded for. We will then discuss the Bucks' big win against Brooklyn, and then could Manny Machado or Bryce Harper be a part of the Milwaukee Brewers? We'll talk about all of that today. Thank you for tuning in to the Daily Tap. We'll be back tomorrow and then tapping the keg on Thursday. Also, if the Bucks were to make a big trade, a special edition of Daily Tap on Thursday night to sort of at least chat through any big deals the Bucks made. All right, let's waste no more time. News came out midday, Monday, from Woj, basically and Sham, saying that Anthony Davis would like to go, would only sign extensions with three or four teams. He'd only sign it with the Los Angeles Lakers, the New York Knicks, Los Angeles Clippers, so you're like, all right, and then the Milwaukee Bucks. You're like, holy shit, the Bucks made that list. And it threw a lot of people off guard. A lot of people went crazy. I mean, the idea that, first of all, Davis wants to come here justifies everything that a lot of Bucks fans have been saying about there's no real way Giannis is leaving. Middleton doesn't want to leave. Bledsoe, I don't think, wants to leave either. That all of these guys have no issue with Milwaukee and would like to stay. That's number one. Number two is the idea that somebody actually wants to come here. And that hasn't been the case maybe ever. I don't even know if in 2001, if, you know, guys wanted to come here because, let's face it, Herb Cole pinched pennies till the day he left this organization. So the Bradley Center wasn't this state-of-the-art facility back in the early aughts, nor did they have, you know, they practiced at the Cousins Center, which was, what, 15 minutes, 20 minutes away from the stadium. So it was all spread out. It wasn't necessarily this, you know, thriving metropolis that the Bucks' new owners have built with the Fiserv Forum. So, you know, this is really the first time that's ever happened. And there is a optimist and sort of cynic view of this. I'm going to kind of give you both sides, and then I'm going to let you sort of decide which way you're going to go. I'm always an optimist. I will say that my view on this whole Anthony Davis scenario is a bit of optimism with a dash of cynicism. If I'm making a drink and I'm at the bar for, you know, how do you want your take cocktail? I'd say give me two parts optimism, one part cynicism. That's how I would make my take drink today. So optimism wise, you know, I don't know if the Bucks can make this trade. They don't have the assets. You can blame Jason Kidd. You can blame a lot of people for the reason why Milwaukee doesn't necessarily have what it takes to bring Davis to, you know, New Orleans or Milwaukee. You know, the idea of Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe both being on expiring contracts, while that'd be nice from a salary cap perspective for the Pelicans, they don't really get any star power back. You know, Thon Maker, DJ Wilson. DJ is I wouldn't say a star, but he definitely has some young talent. Dante DiVincenzo. I mean, you'd have to basically flush any young guy and pillage your bench as well as pillage your starters for Anthony Davis. Now, some people argue that you have to do this, that Anthony Davis is a top five player, just like Giannis. And the idea of having Giannis and Anthony Davis together is absolutely incredible and something that would never be seen. Yes, from a marketing standpoint, from a athletic standpoint, it would be incredible. The Bucks would be a force. I don't know who would beat the Bucks with Anthony Davis and Giannis inside. I mean, it would be unstoppable. I mean, granted, they would need some three-point shooters around them, but these two guys together would be sort of a new Twin Towers, if you will, from the days of David Robinson and Tim Duncan. But as I kind of wrote today on Snow Tap WI, it's a website, kind of outlining why this matters. It's more about, it's not necessarily about Anthony Davis. It's more about the idea that there are people who want to come to Milwaukee, that Milwaukee is not a land of missed opportunity, right? That this is no longer a place where people don't want to come. And that is a major step for the Bucks. And that is something the Bucks should say, hey, you know what? We don't have the pieces to make this deal work. We like our chemistry. We're not going to fuck this up. But we know heading into the summer of 2019, if Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe don't sign, or they have contracts that are far too great for what their worth is, in our opinion, that we have other guys that are probably going to want to come here. And it's not going to just be the guys who've played here before, because there are so many factors. There are Giannis. There is the new arena. There is the state-of-the-art practice facility. There are going to be apartments that I think are done this spring that are going to be right by the stadium, so people can live and work and do everything in this small little area if they want to be left alone. There's something very appealing about that, I think, to today's NBA player, because you look at just millennials and Gen Z, they kind of want everything kind of on a silver platter. I'm not trying to be an old man here. I'm 30. I'm a millennial too. But what I'm trying to explain is that they want everything kind of taken care of for them. They don't want to have to worry about little things and tertiary things. They just expect to kind of be on that silver platter. And it's clear the Bucks have made their stadium facilities, amenities, millennial and Gen Z friendly. That is a very good thing and a very important thing for the Bucks and to try to get future free agents. So I give the Bucks a lot of credit. The Bucks should be celebrating just being mentioned as a win, and that should be there. Now, the cynic in me says, okay, let's peel back the onion a little bit more, right? Let's take some layers off of this onion. Layer number one, Rich Paul is his agent. Rich Paul is as calculated of a motherfucker as there is in the NBA right now. Rich Paul is the agent of Eric Bledsoe. So now Eric Bledsoe, to kind of grease his wheels a little bit to show, okay, you should think about keeping Eric Bledsoe and you should think about giving him a long-term deal. We'll make sure that Rich Paul clients, you know, put Milwaukee on the list and that they show interest here. But you know what? We do need Eric Bledsoe to be signed, and we need him to be signed for a big contract. If not, we'll make sure he's playing in Philadelphia or Los Angeles or any other clutch destination. I think that's number one. I think that plays a role in this sort of clutch sports Anthony Davis relationship. I have said long ago that I think clutch is one of the worst things in the NBA going right now, and that Rich Paul hasn't been exposed to this is kind of ludicrous. The other cynical part of this conversation is, well, Anthony Davis had to include a small market. Anthony Davis couldn't go out there and say, I only sign extensions to two Los Angeles teams and the New York. That's a bad optics look. So Rich Paul said, all right, which is the small market team that I have a little bit of interest in and we could make some waves with? Oh, Milwaukee. That makes a lot of sense for me. Why don't we just go to Milwaukee? You know, there's Eric Bledsoe. He is a Kentucky alum like you are. I can't remember if they played together in college. I was going to look that up before the show, and I didn't, but that team, that Kentucky team, you know, very good, obviously, in the 2012, here, we'll look it up. Bledsoe was not on that roster, so that was not a roster featuring Eric Bledsoe, but still, there is the Cal connection, the Kentucky connection, and sort of, you know, that there is a little bit of that. So, and the other part of this, I will say, some of the Bucks fans have acted a little bit like the horny guy at the bar, where it's like, oh, you're telling me this girl will actually fuck me? You're telling me I'm going to get laid tonight? Like, what? Like, no girl wants to have sex with me. What are you talking about? We're actually allowed to beat some cheeks tonight? That, to me, is a little bit what some Bucks fans are feeling like. And that, like I said, this is a cynical side of this. This is not necessarily how I feel, but I think the cynics of the world can say, you guys are kind of acting horny. You're acting like this is the first person that wants to be part of the Bucks organization. Like, settle the fuck down. He just put us on a list. There's 100 reasons why he could have been on this list. And so I think there is that feeling by some in the Bucks community, which makes sense. It does. If you look at the analogy and you look at just the sort of the desperation that some are showing, it makes a little sense. The Photoshops, everything like that. It's sort of a outrageous approach. So we'll see what happens. I would put it at less than 5% Anthony Davis comes to the Bucks. I would be shocked if this ends up happening. It'd be great. We'd be talking about it a lot, but I significantly doubt that this would happen. All right, moving on to the actual Bucks, the real Bucks. They had a great win last night in Brooklyn. They won 113-94. Giannis finished with a near triple-double, 37 points, 15 rebounds, 9 assists. He was great. He had a great alley-oop early on that caused me to scream at my gym, but I'm not going to apologize for that because it was an awesome fucking dunk. So just, you know what, if you don't like the loud noises, go to Planet Fitness. I would have definitely set off the lunk alarm with the way I screamed as I was running, seeing that alley-oop. But Giannis played great. The Bucks themselves really looked awesome. I mean, how many more times can we just – I know we recap games on the podcast here, but, like, think about this game, right? Brooklyn's been playing well. I talked about it on the show yesterday, like – this is going to be a tough game. Like, this is not going to be easy for the Bucks. I wouldn't be surprised if they lost it. I was texting the other Snowtap boy saying, look, they're a 7-point favorite on the road. There is no way I would take the Bucks tonight. In fact, I might have take Brooklyn. I don't bet against my team. It's not what I do. But, you know, it was crazy to actually see the Bucks dismantle this Brooklyn team. This Brooklyn team is very good. This Brooklyn team has beat some good teams. They beat Boston at this arena. They beat Houston in overtime on the road. Rockets, very good. They took San Antonio to the final shot on the road last week. Like, this is not a bad team at all. And for the Bucks to just go in there, win every quarter, pretty much dominate the basketball game from start to finish is incredible. They did that against Washington, too. But this one almost is more impressive because it's the last leg of the road trip. You could easily kind of just falter, not play well, go 3-2 on the road, and we'd still be like, hey, that was an all right trip. There are things to clean up, but this is an okay trip for the Bucks. Instead, they just are like, fuck this. We're going to win this game, and we're going to win it by a lot, and Giannis is going to be put on ice at the very end. And that happened. I mean, incredible game. Eric Bledsoe, too, he didn't really say it in the media, but you could tell just the way he was playing defense against D'Angelo Russell and the way he sort of you played, just hustled, really gritty effort, definitely was not happy he got snubbed from the All-Star game and thought he was deserving. I'd argue Bledsoe was deserving. I'd probably still give it the nod to a guy like Russell, who's sort of come on so strong of late and had more, I guess, meaningful games this year than Bledsoe. But Bledsoe clearly was upset that he did not be part of that All-Star roster. So good win for the Bucks. They play Washington again on Wednesday. Wizards lost at home somehow to a Hawks team who had been on the road in the West Coast for the last, I don't know, 2 weeks. And they come into D.C. and beat the Wizards. Wizards are not in a good spot right now. Bucks hopefully can take advantage in their one-game homestand against Washington. All right, wrapping up the show. So I kind of found this interesting, and it's been talked about a little bit on local radio already, about how Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, reports are, more so Machado than Harper, that they may be willing to take lesser deals because the market value just isn't there. So their agents are sort of pivoting and saying, well, what about taking a 3-year, $90 million deal or 3 years, $100 million, whatever way you want to, you know, shake this out, taking a massive short-term deal, and then in 3 years, maybe the market value, maybe baseball is not this sort of hellscape of no contracts. It's fucking incredible. It's February, and Bryce Harper and Manny Machado aren't signed. I mean, we are headed for a lockout in the worst way possible. I hope we all know this. I hope we're all mentally prepared, especially with a Brewers team that has a future right now in Major League Baseball. And I think the Brewers have to be shit in their pants. I think baseball has to be shit in their pants a little bit. But that said, you know, would Manny Machado or Bryce Harper be an option for the Brewers? You know, some people have mentioned Bryce Harper. There's this mystery team, and do you think it's the Brewers? 105.7 The Fan talked about this, and it's like, look, Bryce Harper would be a great addition. I mean, he's a monster, but where do you put Bryce Harper? Brewers don't really have a spot for Bryce Harper. They just don't. It's not a thing. I don't know where you could place Bryce Harper right now. I mean, the only other way would be making Braun a fourth outfielder, and you know, I love Ryan Braun, and I guess you could argue with the platooning and with the way that Brian Braun doesn't play all the games that it could happen that way. But still, I really doubt that that would be a thing. I mean, it's Ryan Braun, Lorenzo Cain, and Christian Yelich, and then you have Eric Thames, who I'm sure you could get rid of, but it's like, what, move Braun? Braun to first base was not good. And I mean, if you wanted to, you know, get rid of Jesus Aguilar, sure, but Jesus Aguilar had a better season than I think anyone thought. And we've talked on this podcast before about, you know, could he be a David Ortiz where he just has a monster second half of his career? And the stuff that happened early in his career is an afterthought. And it's more of a we laugh about it sort of thing. I don't know if Bryce makes sense. Now, Manny Machado, there are, and it makes some sense because the Brewers right now still are looking to fill the second base position. Travis Shaw wasn't necessarily great at second base, but he wasn't awful. It wasn't a horrible effort from Shaw at second base. Machado would play third. He has more said that in less words that he wants to be the shortstop, but I think that there are, you know, he would get opportunities. It's not like Orlando Arcia is someone who plays every day. He'd get some opportunities at short, but mostly he'd be at third base. I'm sure they'd open it up to him and say, do you want to play second? You know, would that have more interest than it? Would you want to play second base? The Brewers definitely have a infield spot open. Now, the question about Machado is, can you deal with the personality? I mean, Brewer fans turned on Manny Machado about as quick as like a WWE heel. It's like he was Razor Ramon. He was the bad guy, without question. And the Brewer fans, I think there are a lot of Brewer fans who'd be like, keep his ass in the National League so we can make sure to boo him and he can sort of be a villain of Miller Park. So this would be a Jack Parkman-like move by the Brewers. And would Machado's sort of attitude and character disrupt the clubhouse? I could argue that sort of the way he carries himself, the swagger, the attitude may rub some people the wrong way, but that's kind of what the Brewers clubhouse is about. I mean, there is definitely a, you have to follow rules and you have to be, you know, you don't want to, you know, upset the Craig Counsell still runs things, but he lets players sort of have that personality, which is what Machado is about. So we'll see. I think that would be, there would be a massive marketing PR, you know, move that you'd have to make with Machado. And you'd really have to talk to the fans about, okay, this guy is an amazing player and we'd be happy to have him. You just hope personality wise, he would definitely be the first guy that people would blame if the Brewers season went off the rails. And granted, there's a thousand reasons on why a baseball season can go off the rails. So we'll see. I mean, who knows? The fact that we're even kind of discussing players like Anthony Davis, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado being part of Milwaukee sports teams is fucking incredible. All right, take care, guys. Have yourself a good day. We'll be back tomorrow. Talk to you then. All right, see you there. Bye.